Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Do you remember when you were making the decision to surrender your life to Jesus? So this is a big deal. It's a big decision. I'm going to surrender all of who I am to someone I cannot see, and I'm going to trust Jesus, who I've never seen with my eyes. I'm going to trust Jesus with my whole life. I'm going to surrender everything. And I got to tell you, I don't know if this was your experience, but there was a part of me that was struggling with that surrender and not quite sure. I mean, the bottom line is, can he be trusted or not? Will he really do good things? Does he have my best interest at heart? And what will it mean to follow him and live with him? And now, you know, it's really been over 20 years since that decision was really made. He's been better to me than I deserve. How about you? He's been faithful. I'm not saying it's been perfect. I'm just saying that he's been perfect. I'm not saying that I've been perfect. I'm just saying that he's been perfect. I'm not saying that it's all been smooth sailing, because it hasn't been smooth sailing, has it? No. But he has been with us every step of the way. And actually, the argument I'll make today is that you should expect and can expect God's divine favor and grace in everything that you do as a believer. You should expect, like, I'm not even surprised anymore when he's good to me. I'm just like, yeah, I don't deserve this. This is so great. God, you're so good. You're so faithful. You're so true. I've come to expect his favor in my life. But in order to really understand what favor is, because I'm not saying that it's going to make everything easy. And this afternoon, he's going to give you the lottery numbers in Jesus' name, and you're going to have millions and glory. No. I'm saying it's going to be easy. I'm saying he's going to be with you and you can expect his favor. But what does it mean to have his energy and his favor? So this is where we need to begin. But I want to start with just a simple word of prayer, if you wouldn't mind. Father, we thank you that we could come together today with your people. Lord, I'm just noticing as we're greeting one another, Father, you've brought together all kinds of people here. And for that, we are richly blessed with the difference that we see in one another. God, will you continue to do that in our church, to bring in all kinds of people? And Lord, we'll give you all the credit and all the glory. Lord, our hearts are open to you. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And the things that you talk to us about, because you know every single one of us, those are the things that we'll respond to. We thank you for being with us. We're depending on you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start at the beginning. We really need a clear definition of salvation. When we talk about being saved, when we talk about, Jesus was talking about being born again, you must be born again, you need to be saved. A lot of times when we think of grace, which is used interchangeably with the word favor in Scripture, we think of forgiveness. And so, salvation is so much more than just forgiveness. You've seen the bumper sticker that says, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. That's true, but hopefully there's more to the Christian life than just being forgiven. There was a time in your life, and maybe this is you right now, you're at church, but you haven't yet given your life to Jesus Christ. There's this time, we call this the BC days before Christ, okay? And then there's a point where you surrender your life to Jesus. I'll put a cross here, and this is where old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We do believe there's a point where you surrender your life to Jesus, and isn't this wonderful? And now, if your definition of salvation is just grace and forgiveness, he's forgiven my sins, that means that from this point, when I die, out here way out in the future, because I'm a very young man, I know you're probably really young too, and way out here in the future, that means because I've accepted his forgiveness, I get to go spend eternity eternity in heaven, which we read about in Scripture, and he's made a way that I don't have to go to this place called hell that Jesus mentions multiple times, eternal separation from God. What is hell? Hell is the absence of God. Should I remove God from the equation, of any equation, what you would end up with is actually hell. There's no relationship, there's no love, there's no light, there's no hope, there's no peace, there's no joy. Those are all things that he is. And the grace of God visited upon our life, we live in and move in and breathe in more than we even know. That should God be removed, that's what it would be. And you say, well, I've accepted Jesus and now I'm forgiven. And so when I die, I get to go to heaven. And unfortunately, in the United States of America, this is sometimes what feels like the totality of our understanding about salvation. My question is, what about the rest of your life? What happens between now and then? If I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. I sure hope that we're more than that, just going around as imperfect, forgiven Christians. That ain't gonna save the world, by the way. The world will know you are Christians by your transformation, by the fact that you love like Jesus loves. The world is groaning and waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, that we might actually become more and more like Christ. That's the only thing that's going to persuade a fallen world, is not our talk, not our theology, not what we stand for or stand against or what we stand out and picket. For crying out loud, folks, really? There's a guy who stands out with a sign and preaches the gospel all about hell. Drives me nuts. I want to roll down my window, you know, and just tell him what for. Are we all right now? It's okay. He sends me emails and mails me and thinks that's the way to go. The world doesn't need you standing on a corner with a sign and a bullhorn. The world needs you to look like Jesus from the inside out. That's what it needs. Hey. It'd be a heck of a lot easier to pass out signs and bullhorns, folks. But to actually become like Jesus, you have to experience his grace and have his divine power alive. You have to surrender to him and become like him. In those moments and situations where you want to stand up for yourself, you get to die all over again and become like him. And that's what the world needs. Bullhorns are easy. Transformation. Loving the people around you that are not easy to love, huh? Dying for the people that are around you that you don't want to die for. See, salvation is something way more than just forgiveness. Salvation is not God. Salvation is not just God saving you from something. He's saving you into something. Not just from, but into. The purpose of salvation is a new life today, not just avoiding eternal death in the future. Eternal life begins when you accept Christ. You are eternal. And you don't have to wait till heaven. I think there's some Christians who are just like, come, Lord Jesus, right now. Just come and take me out. I spent way too much at Christmas, Lord, and the visa bill is due. Lord, take me out of here in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. My neighbors are terrible. I can't stand where I work. I don't like the people that are around me. Come, Lord Jesus, right now. You know what I'm saying? That's not what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are all about. When Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount and teaches us not just that we're saved and we're forgiven, but that there's actually a life, a Christ-like life to be lived. A great example of this, and I'm spending time on this because without this, we can't understand why the energy of God, the favor of God, is necessary in our daily life. Perfect picture of this is Eric Chesney, one of our pastors who is just out here. His wife's name is Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was born in Ethiopia. Do we have any other Ethiopians here? We want to celebrate you. No? Is there any Ethiopians over here? Okay, I know there's some in our church, but they must come to the earlier service. Anyway, she's an Ethiopian, and her citizenship from Ethiopia. She decided that she would work towards getting her U.S. citizenship. She had to struggle with the fact that she had to renounce one citizenship to become a citizen of the United States. And then she had to take a test and go through all this quiz and these questions and the paperwork and a lot of questions that we couldn't answer, native-born Americans, unless we studied the test. You know what I'm talking about? So then they go before the judge, and there was like 80 countries represented, and we have a picture. Just Friday, she got her citizenship. She got her new citizenship. There she is with her kids. All boys. Woo, I challenge you on that one. And, oh, there's another picture. They went all out. Look. Captain America. That's fantastic. Well, this is a perfect picture of what salvation is. Salvation isn't Jesus coming and waving a wand over your life and you're wondering every day, am I forgiven or not? Or I did that, and now I did that, and am I forgiven? That's not what grace is all about. Salvation is Jesus coming to us and inviting us to come into his kingdom. His kingdom means a place where he rules and he reigns, where there's a worldview that he decides what the worldview is. Before you came to Christ, you were in a kingdom, and it was ruled by the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. It's your way, your will, your language. Your way or the highway is your roof and your house and your cars and your money and your life and your love and your relationships and your... And this is really ugly. I'm painting an ugly picture, but this is true. You ruled your own life and you had your own kingdom. And this can still be true. Even though you've given your life to Christ, Christ comes in and he says, I want to be the center of your life. And I want you to come into my kingdom. And I want to rule and reign, and I want your whole worldview to be set in this parallel universe that I'm talking about that is my kingdom. No longer I, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I no longer live over here trusting myself, but now I live it by faith in Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. There's this brand new kingdom that I'm a part of, and in this brand new kingdom, there are brand new rules. There's brand new air. There's a citizenship that needs to be given up on this side so that you can be accepted as a citizen in his kingdom, his rule, his dominion. The great thing is that when you were on your own doing your thing, you were the source and had to be the source of everything. Boy, and didn't it make you mad when anybody would infringe upon your rights or take energy from you? Because you were the source, and you were the source of your own happiness and your own vision and your own mission and your own future, and everything in your life was up to you. Then you gave your life to Christ. They said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? And he said, yeah, pray in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you give us this day our daily bread. We won't supply our own needs. And you forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. It's not my kingdom. Oh, this is so freeing. This is so wonderful. It's not my kingdom anymore. It's not what I own. It's not my stuff. It's not my future. It's not my energy. It's not my strength. No, it's not by might nor power, but it's by his spirit now, because this kingdom isn't ruled by us with us in charge. We've got another king, and it's got another set of rules. That's why Psalm 23 is so beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd. Whew. I don't have a single need today, folks. In this kingdom, he supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He has an unlimited amount of strength for you and ability for you and grace for you and favor for you, forgiveness for you. Everything that you need is in that kingdom. Now, you're tempted to go back and make yourself king again. If that's true for you, just nod a little bit, okay? The people around you can't see. You're tempted to go back, make yourself king, and find your own strength. And you'll see that you'll want to go back into that kingdom when somebody infringes upon you. Well, I never. If you can be offended, you're living with yourself as king. But if you're living in his kingdom, really tough to be offended, because everything belongs to him. It's not yours in the first place. John 7:37-38 says this, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." See, salvation, instead of seeing salvation as a bottomless cup of just forgiveness, we need to see it as a bottomless well of strength that God gives us. His own divine energy of living in his kingdom. There's a new air that you breathe. There's a new territory that you're a part of. And it belongs to him and comes from him. And what I'm saying is, this kingdom that we live in, it exists outside of us. It also exists in us. But it runs on the economy of grace. Not just grace for forgiveness, but grace that is actually an energizing agent that allows you to become what you could never become before. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like God has called you into this new kingdom, and once you're in the new kingdom, he says, "I'm glad you heard about this, and now pull yourself up and let's get going." You couldn't do it. You couldn't live for him without him, and you can't live for him without him right now. You've got to still have him, and that's the energy, the grace of God that empowers you to do it. Grace, or favor, is actually the power of God at work in you. Not just forgiveness, but the power of God at work in you, performing and transforming you into the likeness of Christ. So the Christian life looks like this. You come along, you get saved, and then, yes, you're forgiven, and you're going to go to heaven. But on the way there, he's given you the ability to be more and more like Christ. And how does he do that? He does that by his unmerited favor and grace. It's an energy that propels you to become more and more like him. Does that make sense? Philippians chapter 2 says it this way. "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed," Paul is talking to the church here, he said, "so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Deal with this and understand your salvation. And then he says, "for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." What if you came to Jesus and then he said, "all right, memorize the Ten Commandments and every morning wake up and do them"? Some people are miserable in their walk with Christ because they think that's what the gospel is. That is not the gospel. The gospel is you can't do the Ten Commandments without Jesus' help. But with his help, you can do all things. How? Where? Through Christ who strengthens you. Now we're in him, energized in him. The exciting part about being a Christian is not going to heaven. The exciting part is I don't have to live in hell right now. I can be free right now. I can walk in power right now. I'm not talking about walking in perfection or floating around on clouds or any, I know this stuff you see on TV where they're making all these promises. No, I'm talking about walking and flowing in the Holy Spirit and allowing him to give me strength, allowing him to give you wisdom and give you insight, and he gives you favor with people. Isn't it great when God just makes people like you and there's no reason they should like you except God has given you favor? It says this in Scripture, "they grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men." You can expect when you go into the situation that God can give you favor with people. I've seen it happen. Oh, a little over 4 years ago, I flew into Cincinnati for the first time in my adult life. Flew into CVG. The name says Cincinnati, conveniently located in northern Kentucky. You know what I'm talking about. I came from Houston, and Houston, man, it was happening. And I've flown in and out of O'Hare and different places, and I flew into CVG. It was the most peaceful, wonderful little airport you ever saw. It was great. I was going into an interview process thinking about, you know, being the pastor of this church. They were looking for a pastor. You know what it's like to be in an interview, and I'm going to tell you, I wasn't even nervous the whole time. It was just this grace. It was God's divine favor. And you know the miracle? Every single person I met really liked me. And that's really handy when you're in an interview process. I don't know if you know that or not. Matter of fact, I said things just to see if they would dislike me. But even then, they like me more. You ever try to shut a door and it just keeps opening and keeps opening? You know, the favor of God, you can drip with the favor of God in every situation. Why? It's not because it was my will be done. It was because I had come into His kingdom and wanted His will to be done. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about the clothes that you're going to wear. No, I care about two birds that fall from the sky. You think I can't care for you? And they don't toil. And they don't stress out and they don't wig out. I provide for them. And look at the lilies of the field. Are they beautiful? I mean, they're clothed better than Solomon. But you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things, these small things will be added to you when you put His kingdom first. Some of you are worried about this kingdom, your kingdom, and this world, and things are not being added to you. You've got to step in and realize you're in His kingdom and put His kingdom first. You say, Pastor Rob, I don't seem to have enough of this or enough of that. No, you're going to the wrong source. You're looking to yourself instead of looking to Him. See, in this kingdom, everything's upside down. In this kingdom, everything is different and it's geared towards Him. Don't worry about all those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus said. All these things will be added to you. What happens when we're living with His kingdom in mind? With Him as our King, His grace and favor available to us, this means that God's favor will make us fruitful no matter the situation. Do you know in every situation as a born-again believer in Christ in this kingdom, you can win? You can bear fruit in every situation. Why? Well, because it's not fruit like the world bears. It's different. You know, there's not a situation that you're in right now that you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit of love for the people that are around you. Not because you have so much love or because you're such a great person, but because you have access to the Holy Spirit of God, and God, will you give me your love for these people? You say, Pastor Rob, you don't know the people I'm around right now. Hey, the worse the situation and the more pressure there is, the better your prayer life should become. And let that pressure press you into Him, and you'll find out that He's all that you need. He'll give you the love that you need for those other people. You know, there's situations where most people would freak out, but as Christians, we have peace. That's how we have a fruitful situation in the middle of a stressful time. He gives us His peace. Jesus did not say, I'm going to give you your peace. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. But mine, I'm actually going to give you the peace that I have. Not that you have to work it up in yourself. I'm going to give it to you. And if you've been in a situation where you ought to be worried, fearful, stressed, and you're not, why? Because you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit of peace. In every situation, you can expect peace. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is this: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That means in every situation, even if it's a sorrowful situation, there can be joy. God can give you joy in the middle of a storm. God can have you bearing fruit. Doesn't he say, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil? Why? Because His rod and His staff, they comfort you. He's nearby. And doesn't He say, in the presence of your enemies, what does He do? Everybody else is wigging out because the enemies are all around. And what are you doing? You're kicked back at a table. He's preparing a feast for you in the presence of your enemies. When you're able to eat, you're not stressed. You ever been so stressed that you couldn't eat? As a believer, we can trust that God will give us His peace. And even in the midst of a trial, you might be in the midst of a big trial right now, you'll still be able to sleep. You'll still be able to eat. That's a promise that He gives us. We're walking in His favor. Galatians 5:22 says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, you can experience these as much as you want. And this is what He's talking about. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. I have an endless supply of these things, the very fruit of the Spirit, no matter what you're facing, no matter the situation. Now I'm going to say something that I feel is a bit controversial. I'll have to explain it. God's favor can give you victory in every situation. He can give you victory in every situation. And the reason this is difficult to preach is because as soon as I say that God can give you victory in every situation, you've watched too many TV preachers. That's a problem. I'm not making promises that God can't keep. And the victory looks a little bit different. I'm telling you that because you're in his kingdom and doing his will and his work, because you've been transformed by him, in every situation, you can get victory. But I need to describe something, because victory in him is not the same as victory in the world. You do know that, right? Like, Jesus got the victory when he walked to Calvary. Are you with me? He hung on a cross and it looked like he was losing, but he was actually winning. Paul and Silas come out of prison after they got beat up. And they were walking in total victory. Are you still signing up for victory right now? They came out, think about it. They were beaten for Jesus. And they came out and said, "Oh, can you believe it, brother, that we would be counted worthy to be in among the, we cast our lot in with Jesus and now we're being beaten for him. Isn't this wonderful?" Are you still wanting to be a Christian right now? "Oh, glory to God. Lord, you've put difficult people in my life, and they're making me more and more like you. Thank you, Father, for my enemies. Thank you, Father, for those who spitefully use me. Thank you, Father." I mean, think about the three Hebrew children. They were going to get thrown in the fire. They had the victory before the fire. They had the victory in the fire. They had the victory after the fire. This is the Christian life. It's not saying there's not going to be fires. Look, you can throw me in the fire if you want. And God can deliver me if he wants. But even if he doesn't deliver me, if he doesn't deliver me from the fire, then I'll just go be with him when you throw me in. But either way, I've got the victory. He is able to do it. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. But if he doesn't, I'm still not bowing down. I'm still in the right kingdom. So they threw him in. They threw him in. They stoked it up so hot that the guards died throwing him in. Next thing you know, they're walking around in a fire with Jesus. Come on, man. Really? But I've walked in a fire with Jesus. How about you? Man, I'll never forget. 20 years ago, being in a psychiatric hospital, having gone through a nervous breakdown. Always like to clarify, it wasn't Wednesday this week. I had nothing but a bed. I had lost everything. But at that point, I had also crossed the line and given my life and surrendered it to Jesus. And I know I was saying to myself and saying to him while I was walking around that bed in that psychiatric room that had the pads on the walls, I was saying, "God, you have the ability to deliver me out of this. But even if you don't, I'm going to serve you forever. If I have to stay here forever." But you know, he didn't leave me there forever. And I had the victory before, I had the victory in, and I had the victory after. You know, the king had to come and get the kids out of the fire, the three Hebrew children. How humbling was that? Boys, I know I threw you in there, but it seems like you're walking around. Can you come out? They're saying, "Yeah, give us a few more minutes, buddy. We'll be out in a minute. We're walking around with Jesus right now. Rather want to stay where we're at." Think about it. This is what the Christian life is. This is what the grace of God is for. The grace of God is not just so we can walk around forgiven every day. Praise God for his forgiveness. But he's empowered you to be more like Christ. This is why I say we can walk with his favor in every situation. And we can have victory in every situation. You want to have victory in your marriage? You just die. It's really easy. You love. You can be right or you can be righteous. Some of you are perking up right now. And some of you wives just nudged your husband really hard, and that's not spiritual or kind. That's not good. You can be right or you can be righteous. But in every situation, you can see the fruit of the Spirit come through your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is God's divine favor. What is it? It's his wind at your back when you're doing his will. It's his wind at your back when you're doing his will. Say, "Father, I thank you today. I'm gonna die to self today. I'm going to pray for my enemies today. God, I'm going to bless that person at work that seems like they are such a curse to me. I'm going to let you use them to shape me, to make me more like you. I'm going to heap hot coals on their head. I'm going to be a blessing to them, Father. And I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to love them. Lord, I'm going to experience your joy in the midst of this trial, and I'm going to worship you no matter what, because I know your grace and your favor are there. You're blowing in that direction, and I can experience that. I'll experience your joy, Father, even though I've experienced great sorrow. Lord, and everything's not perfect, I can still rejoice in you because you're my God and I love you and you're in charge and I'm in your kingdom and I'm going to rule and reign with you someday and you're good to me every day and I love you and I'm going to experience your joy. I'm not going to let the enemy steal that away with these situations that are always happening out here to rip this away from me. I'm going to stay in your kingdom. I'm going to stay strong. Father, I thank you that you've given me strength today. And your strength is in, there's an endless supply of your strength to help me be the man I'm supposed to be the husband I'm supposed to be the father I'm supposed to be the pastor I'm supposed to be. You have an endless supply, and it flows up in me, rivers of living water. Father, in every situation, your grace, your mercy, see how this works. This is his energy in our life, giving us strength. Not only that, but he'll even use your weaknesses. This is so great. Because what if he could just use your strength? There's days you'd be totally useless to God. But if he uses your weakness, he'll use you every day, won't he? One time I hit a golf shot. I was playing golf in Houston. I like to play golf. I'm no good at it, but I still like to play. I don't understand. And it should have been a 100-yard shot, and it should have went up in the air like this here, but it was just a line drive. It went straight over the green. My buddy was standing there with me, straight over the green, and hit this big tree. No lie, sounded like a woodpecker. Just pop. I could hear it all the way from there. And then it fell back onto the green. I mean, it was 10 yards past it. It popped back onto the green, and it started rolling. And me and my buddy are watching the ball. It's rolling. It rolls right into the cup. Took my pitching wedge, said, won't need my putter on this one. Yeah, you know. It was the best, worst shot I ever made. I'm here to tell you, that's my life story. How about you? That's my life story. You're not always going to hit it right. Not always going to get it right, but God somehow by his grace and his favor and his mercy makes it right. A lot of times when I'm playing golf, I'd rather be lucky than good because I'm probably never going to be good, so I might as well be lucky, right? And I'm telling you, in your Christian life, he can even use your weaknesses. We don't set out to be imperfect, but we just are. But even that he can use. Stop trying to be perfect and just go to him with all your weaknesses and imperfections. What if he used your imperfections and made that the strong point of your life? You'd be pretty strong. And this is what Paul said. Paul had this problem. He had this issue. Have you ever had just like one issue or one person if you're like, if I could just solve that, then it would be great. Paul had something. We don't know if it was a physical thing, emotional thing, a relational thing. We don't know what it was, but it troubled him so much that he prayed and he asked God three times, God, take this away from me. God said, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Wow. Then Paul said, well, since that's true, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and dwell in me. So I am well pleased. This is one for your refrigerator right here. You want to know what Christianity looks like? This one right here. I know you have Jeremiah 29:11 already on there. Peel that one off and put this one on. I am well pleased with weaknesses, with insults. Bring them on, Lord. With distresses, with persecution, with difficulties. For the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I'm strong. Truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's endless strength. Isn't that beautiful? Here's what we're going to do now. You have in your program there, if you'll notice your program, you have some paper. We're going to take these, and I want you to write an area, a time when God has, and where God has shown you his favor, his grace in your life. There should be pens there in the seat back in front of you. If you're in the front row, you have to kind of lean back and ask a neighbor for a pen. And then once you fill that out, this is an area where, God, you showed me your favor and you delivered me from this situation or you helped me in this. After you fill that out, we're going to ask you in the balconies, there's some places for you to bring those right up front there. You don't have to come all the way down here. But then around here, there's four different locations where you're going to come. After you fill it out, while the song is playing, you're just going to come and put that in there. Our media team is going to eventually make these into a big collage out on one of the walls so that we'll be able to look at those and see those and give God thanks for all the great things that he's done. This is a chance for you to say, God, thank you for your favor in my life. If you need both sides, don't hesitate. But fill that out and we'll do this song and then bring them forward, and then I'll come and pray at the end.
was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. And I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. And I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. Let it go and trust in when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, surely every season.
Just stand with me, please. And as you're still filling out cards, don't hesitate. Bring those forward. We won't make you sing on the stage. Don't worry. Fear not. Let's pray together as we get ready to go. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, and we just give you all the glory. God, I just pray a special blessing over your people today. What a great family to be a part of. God, I pray that they'd be blessed as they go this week. Lord, they'd sense your favor and your grace and your mercy and your love, that they'd have your joy. And Father, that we would in every situation bear fruit of righteousness, that those people that are around us would see who you are, Jesus, for real. And that's what we want more than anything, Father. So I just pray you send your people out today with your hand of blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. There's prayer and communion available across the front. Hope you have a great week. God bless.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.